strong power to which we run this morning, and that you wrap us about with your everlasting arms of love. Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Lord liveth. And we know that thou art not a dead God, but thou art a risen, living Saviour. And blessed be my rock. And may the God of my salvation be exalted. We bless thy name this morning. And we lift it up far above every other name. And truly this morning we say, Lord Jesus Christ, there is no name like unto thy name. For the demons flee and tremble at the mention of thy name. Jesus, just the mention of thy name. Lord, the desert blooms again. Lord God, we thank you this morning that that name is precious, Lord. Amen. Lord, you are precious to us this morning. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that every fetter will be broken in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, every fear, Lord, will be cast down. Every lying vanity will be exposed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us not observe the lying vanities this morning, but let us observe that thou art a strong power. Let us observe that thou art the God of all the ages, who heals, who saves and delivers. Lord Jesus Christ, let us observe that thou art a God of mercy, full of grace and slow to wrath. Gladness and mercy, your word says this morning, Lord. Lord God, we're glad that your word even says, even David has experienced, wrote and said, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You have not rewarded us according to our iniquities, but by thy own grace and thy own mercy, thou hast given us pardon and multiplied grace unto us, Lord. Even as the hymn writer wrote and said, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Lord, we're glad for Calvary this morning. Lord, if it wasn't for Calvary, we wouldn't even be here. We would have no joy in our heart. We would have nothing to praise for we would be lost and undone. But Lord, because of Calvary, we can get up this morning with our eyes toward heaven and give thee thanks and praise that thou hast redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy this morning, Lord. We thank thee for thy precious blood. Lord, I ask you this morning, because that we are the children of God, that your heavenly Father would hear us and have compassion on those that's needing prayer this morning. We pray, Lord, for young James this morning. Lord God, that you'll deliver him from asthma, for thou art a God who heals. Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning for anyone that are midst this morning that's needing a healing touch from thee. Lord Jesus Christ, let them press through, even as that woman of old, who pressed through the multitude just to get the touch of your garment. Lord Jesus Christ, there was circumstances prevailing, circumstances forbidding her even to come, for she was rendered an unclean woman. But Lord, she was determined, even as Jacob was determined to get the birthright. Lord, he was determined to touch you, and Lord, that woman was determined. And I pray, Lord God, that each of us this morning will be determined to touch even the border of thy garment, for we know that if we can but touch you, Lord, there's going to be a change, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, let us not be dismayed or put off by circumstances or lies or things that people have said. But Lord, let us look to the promise of thy word. Lord, if the doctor said nothing can be done, we'll get another opinion. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that thy word says, I will live and not die. Amen. We know, Lord Jesus Christ, that your word says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, heal each everyone this morning that's needing a healing touch from you. Lord, if anyone's needing their heart mended up this morning because it's been broken, Lord, thou can heal the broken heart. Lord, surgeons can't do nothing with a broken heart. But Lord, you can do it, Lord. Amen. The little hymn says, who can cheer the heart like Jesus? Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that thou give us cheer. Lord, you give us strength and victory and happiness, Lord, and joy. And Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength this morning. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would bless each one, Lord. Lord, if there's any that's been left out or not mentioned this morning, I pray, Lord, you'll know and undertake for it. And I ask you, Lord, even as I word goes forth this morning, it will be like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces in Jesus Christ's name. And let the anointing destroy the yokes this morning, we pray. Break off every yoke, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if someone's come into the service this morning, Lord, and they don't know the delivering and healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, pray, Lord God, they'll know it this morning, that they'll go out of this place different than what they came in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know, Lord, that, Lord, wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you have declared that you would be in our midst. And that's good enough for me, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're here, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just asking our Lord God that you'll help us to praise thee this morning. Help us to enter in, Lord, this morning into your presence, Lord. And let us forget about ourselves and concentrate on you and worship Christ the Lord. And we ask these blessings in the lovely name of our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're going to take your seats this morning, praise God. Can we sing that hymn, Thy Mighty Work, O Lord? Thy mighty arm made fair, praise the Lord. Thank you. didn't come down. He didn't come down. I stopped to think, just where would I be if Jesus come down from that cruel tree? There'd be no hope for man, no peace would be found. Praise God, I am glad that he didn't come down.
Often I stop to think, but where would I be?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just sing one more hymn before the talk is public. Brother Pete and Sister Calvin, which is just one of our best. Can we sing that one? It's one of my favourites. I love it. It's one of my favourite stories in the Bible. When Mary came to find the tomb of Jesus, the stone was moved to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The angel said, "Fear not, for he is risen. Why seek the living here among the dead?"
Glory.
You know, I love that. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. When Mary
teacher and writes books. Maybe you can come and just greet the people. You've maybe seen it. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Good to see you here this morning. Just rejoice in the Lord. You know, when just to be here, a lot of memories with Brother Conley and others looking around this room. You know, you might find it hard to believe I can remember Brother Yule drunk and under a different spirit some years ago. That hasn't been any time recent. But you know, see, when you think back of what the Lord has done in saving, fill him with the Holy Spirit, how he keeps his hand upon you. It's a remarkable thing, amazing thing. And you know, you've got a group of believers in Limerick praying for you here, calling upon the Lord, seeking his will to be done in your life, even in finding this building. So we really pray the Lord blesses you. We hope to come be with you in the days ahead as well. Amen. You know, Brother Tommy has just been a wonderful blessing and encouragement to us, especially over the past year. Last year came and ministered amongst a strange bunch on the high street of Limerick. You know, they're saved out of everything you can imagine. Drug addicts, dark occultism, all manners of things. But see, a new church born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, with the Spirit of God moving. There is nothing like a real church. And I want to tell you, all hell is fighting the raising up of a real church in this hour. There's nothing like a real Holy Spirit-filled church. It is a terror to the power of hell, I want to assure you. And that's why the fight is so intense. I really pray and encourage you that you stand strong. Seek the Lord like you've never done. I tell you, the days are evil, but this is a day in which we can shine for the glory of God. You know, just over the past weeks, we've just had a real period of time, hard times, but a time of really seeking the Lord and fasting and prayer, just calling on His name. Yeah. Just 3 weeks ago, the Spirit of God was falling upon our ladies. They started to meet from home to home on Mondays and Tuesday nights. Young ladies being baptized with the Holy Ghost, hadn't before, others being refilled. Just remarkable. You know, it's terrible when the preacher's not there and they're getting filled and blessed and interceding and praying through. And other young ladies getting born again. They'd come, prayed their little prayers, cried their tears, no change. But when they really get born again, it is so, so real. I really pray the Lord blesses you. You know, when I think of our families, go way back. My parents, way years ago with Brother Billy there in Tremor, you know, it's remarkable when you see God's hand on lives.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, saints, the best is yet ahead. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, with all my heart. There's a generation never heard this gospel. And that church has apostatized, has gone way off track. But I tell you, there's sinners out there in occultism, in atheism and drugs, they've never once heard this gospel. God bless you this morning. I'm sure I'm looking forward to the Word of God. You know, through Zoom, you know, we make do with what's there. Pastor Tommy just ministered 3 Sunday nights to us down there in Limerick on healing. And I tell you, it's hard to find preaching like this. And can I, before I take my seat, never take this for granted. I've watched believers all my days take the real preaching of the Word of God for granted. They get used to it. Then they fall asleep under it. Then they take it for granted. God help you if you ever take the Word of God being preached this morning. I refuse to ever take the preaching of God's Word for granted. I want to hear Him more than any of you is here this morning. Not because of a man, but I want to hear the Word of God. God bless you here this morning. Keep praying for us in Limerick. We really need a move of God. There's a whole city needing the Word of God there. And for an accent like mine on that high street, you know it has to be a work of the Spirit of God. God bless you this morning.
Praise God. It's really so good to see our brother Keith, and he's going to be coming back again. I didn't know they were in the north at all. They're on their anniversary, and it's so good to have them
Amen.
This morning. And try to get him to preach, but that wasn't happening. But he's going to come back again and preach for us. And Keith wrote several books. One book on the Scarlet Woman, and I'm telling you, it's a powerful book. It's on Amazon, isn't it right, brother? You go on Amazon, Keith Malkinson, you can get them books. And I had a book on the Scarlet Woman, which Dave Hunt wrote it, and it was good, really was good. But Keith's book's better. And I've got the both books. And that's something, because that other book was good, I'm telling you. And it really exposes a lot of things and shows a lot of things, and we appreciate the Lord for that. But the Lord bless each one here. There's a few...
Yeah.
Seats, few people missing this morning, but thank God for those who's here this morning. Praise God, and we appreciate the Lord. I want this morning to preach on what we are to confess. There's a certain way as believers God wants us to talk on the things we are to say. Praise God. And it's very important. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Praise God. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, and maybe we could stand where we read one verse, Then go to pray, Hebrews 3, verse 1, praise God. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. And you know, Paul calls Jesus in another verse the chiefest of apostles. Just one verse. But I remember I preached a message, who is the chiefest apostle? Most people would say Paul, but Paul said Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I believe Paul. Praise God. Let us bow our heads.
Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee this morning that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that the Bible calls it the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ask that thou would wash us and cleanse us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb over our lives and over this house and over all in it and over all that's near and dear to us. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We ask for the Holy Spirit to move this morning in our midst, to take your word and make it become real to us. And alive to us, we pray. We ask for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your utterance. In Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, I do take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to take this morning this word profession. And I know I've preached from the scripture before. But I hope the Lord will just give you some of this morning. Amen. Profession. Many Christians fail to receive what they pray for because of the lack of understanding about confession. Now, when I'm talking about confession, I'm not talking about confession to a Catholic priest. That's not the confession I'm talking about. But profession is the same as confession. And many of your Bibles will read confession. Profession and confession is the same thing. What does confession mean? In the Greek language, confession is homologos, literally the same as homo word logos, meaning one mind.
Yeah.
To speak the same, to agree, thus confession is to say the same thing. It means to believe and say what God says about our sins. What does God say about our sins? If we are washed in the blood of Jesus, the word of God says our sins are gone. We are to remember our sins no more. The Lord remembers them no more. We are not to confess our sins. After they're forgiven and gone, we should no longer think about them. They should no longer hold us in bondage. They should no longer, we shouldn't struggle with that, but we should know with surety that the word of God says the blood of Jesus, God's Son,
amen,
cleanses us, washes us from all sin. We are to confess our sins are gone. They've been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Like one great servant of God saying, he says, think if you had a bucket of bleach and you dropped one drop of ink of a pen into the bucket of bleach, you would no longer see the droplet of ink. Because as soon as a droplet of ink would hit the bleach would absolutely obliterate it and annihilate it.
Jesus.
And the Bible says that your sins are washed away.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus, no longer to be remembered against you no more. They are gone, and they're gone to stay. The Bible
Amen.
Says that God took them away.
Glory.
Amen.
No longer.
That's right.
So when the enemy brings your sins up and your past up, you need to tell him that there's a sign up, no fishing.
Amen.
No fishing, they're gone by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That should be your confession. That should be our confession, that our sins are gone. Also that our sicknesses have been paid for.
That's right.
Jesus Christ not only forgives our sins, But the psalmist said, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases.
Amen.
The Lord forgives your sin, and the Lord heals all your diseases.
That's right.
It's very important when you study healing.
Amen.
That you read the book of Leviticus and you read the book of Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Because when you read the books of Moses, and you know that's what they are, the books of Moses, you will read all the curses that came upon the children of Israel. And every single one of them curses, the word of God says that God will deliver from every one of them.
Yes.
So there is no disease, there is no affliction that God cannot deliver from.
Yeah.
But God can deliver from all manner of sin and all manner of sickness, because His word says so. And we need to confess that.
Yes.
That needs to be our confession. Our confession doesn't need to be, there's no hope for me, there's no chance for me. That's a wrong confession. Your confession should be, the Lord's forgiven my iniquity. The Lord's healing all my diseases. Hallelujah. And we need to confess it, and we need to believe it. Everything else included in our redemption, everything the Lord has paid for. Confession is an affirmation of a Bible truth that we have embraced. It's an affirmation. Confession is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. What is God's declaration? What has God said that we have? God says, you know, I preached a sermon on it, say so. From the Psalms, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
I preached old sermon and the word say so. I preached it in Australia. Many other places I preached it. And the Lord gave me a message from the one word, say so. From them two words, praise God. Say so. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Say so. My sins are gone. Say so. By His stripes I'm healed. Say so.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's mind says so.
Amen.
He gives the Holy Ghost to them who obey Him.
Hallelujah.
Say so.
Amen.
Say what the Word of God says. Look what the Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24. He is own self.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
He is own self, not an angel.
Amen.
Or some great prophet. Or some great man. But the Bible says He left the glory and splendor
Hallelujah.
Of heaven above. And He took upon Him the form of a man. And He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus Himself
yes.
took our sins. He burned them.
Yes.
He carried them
yeah.
on the cross.
Amen.
Look what He says. That we being dead to sins should live under righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed.
Yes.
It's a past tense. It's a past tense. Jesus already has paid for your healing.
Amen.
When you're saved and you'll go to the date, and that's true. You can go to a date and write it in your Bible, I get saved on a date, and that's the truth. But yet withal, in the mind of God, you were saved from the very foundation of the world. God knew you. God knew me. Now, we didn't know it. We had to come to born again experience. We know that and believe that. But in the mind of God, it already was done. And here the Word of God says, you're already healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like salvation was paid for, your healing's paid for.
Yes.
Jesus will never have to go on the cross again.
Glory.
Jesus will never have to be whipped again. Jesus will never have to wear a crown of thorns again.
Amen.
But glory to God, this morning the price has been paid. The full price, not a part price, but full redemption.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be His name.
Amen.
We are to believe and say the same thing. The things that God says, we're to say. We are not to speak contrary to the word. We are not to say, how's it going to be done? We are not to say, I can't be healed. We are not to say, that drunkard can't be saved. That prostitute, we are not to say that. But we are to say that God is able to do anything far above what we can ever ask or ever think God is able to do. Exceedingly abundantly, above what we can ever ask and ever think. We are to pray and believe that we have it when we pray.
Amen.
We are to pray and believe that we have it when we pray. We are to act in faith.
We're to talk in faith. Mm-hmm. We're to walk in faith. We are to confess the right confession. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You cannot be saved unless you confess first with your mouth and believe. There is no possession without confession. Are you hearing me? That's Romans 10 verse 9. You have to confess with your mouth. Then you believe in your heart and you're saved. You confess it, you believe it, and you possess it. Salvation. Healing is the same. You must confess him as your healer, just as you confess him as your savior. Many confess Jesus as a savior. Many can show scriptures that he's a savior, but they fail to see him as a healer. But I believe he's a savior. I believe he's a healer. I believe he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And I believe that same Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Coming for a glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle. Not Miss this name or this name, but she's going to be Mrs. Jesus Christ. She takes his name. Hallelujah. Just like the wife takes the husband's name. We have took his name. The name of Jesus Christ. What is it about that name? Remember what the Word of God says. That name is above every other name. That name is above every other name. There is no name higher, more powerful than the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Jesus' name's above every name. You took that name in baptism. You were baptized into the name. Hallelujah. You received the name. You're part of him. He's part of you. You're in him and he's in you. If you abide in him, he abides in you. The works that I do shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. That's the word of God. That's John 4:12. That's God's word. And God keeps an eye on his own word. Hallelujah. We don't bring it to pass. He does. He brings it to pass. It's his word. But he asks us to believe it. He asks us to confess it. To hold to it. To say it the way he says it. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Speak it as it's said. Say it as it's written. And believe it with all your heart. And the Holy Spirit will make the word of God live. Jeremiah 1 verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
Amen.
Or I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. God is actively.
Yeah.
In other words, God is on the move.
Yeah.
God is on the move. God is actively watching over his word to perform it.
Amen.
When you take God and his word, there's a responsibility on God.
Yeah. That's right.
Remember this, and I preach this as well. Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago resumed full and total responsibility back of the devil at Calvary.
Amen.
This was a fallen race, a fallen generation. The first Adam plunged us all into the universal death, universal condemnation. But the Bible speaks of the second Adam.
Amen.
The Bible speaks of the Lord from heaven. It says, as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord from heaven. Glory to God.
Amen.
And I tell you, he made it good.
Yes.
He made the word good.
That's right.
He was the word. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. He was with God. Hallelujah. In God.
Yes.
He came out from the Father. Glory to God. The Bible said the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that beautiful?
Amen.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he loves you this morning.
Yeah, right.
The Lord loves you.
Amen.
He loves you when you feel him.
Jesus.
You know, God's love for you never changes. God's love, God doesn't work like people work with a blackboard with stars. And if you have a bad day, there's no star. And if you have a good day, there's a gold star. God doesn't work like that. God's love is unchanging, undiminishing. It is abounding love. It is far beyond human love. It's God's love. And the word of God says God is love. God so loved the world. John 3:16. What about verse 17? God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants to save.
Amen.
It's His will to save.
Amen.
And He loves you this morning.
Amen.
And His love for you has never changed.
Yes.
Even when you fail, even when I fail, when we fall short, we all do. We all do things. Paul the Apostle, the great apostle in the Bible, says, I find myself doing things I don't want to do. Doesn't he say it? He does say it. And all of us many times do things we ought not to do, but the Lord still loves us.
Amen.
That doesn't mean, that doesn't give us a right to sin willfully. We are to live for God. We are to live holy for God. We are to do the right thing. But if we fall short, the blood lays there for us. Thank God for the blood.
Jesus.
Amen.
Confessions is faith's way of expressing a self. That's confession. Confession is faith's way of expressing a self. Verse 1, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. A high priest. Not only is Jesus a priest, but he's a high priest. He is seated at the right hand. The Bible says Jesus has sat down.
Amen.
I love that scripture. Do you know why? When you come in from your work of the evening and you sit down, that means your job's finished for the day. The work is done.
Yeah.
And Jesus has sat down. The work is done.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And right hand speaks all power. And Jesus says, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth, in my name. Jesus gives you the right to the power. He gives you the right to the power if you're a believer. He said, you've cast out devils in my name, Mark 16. You lay hands on the sick in my name. He gives you the power. The right hand of power he has, he gives you it. He said to Peter, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom in his name. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The original said it's already loosed. It's already bound.
Yes.
Thank God for Jesus' name.
Amen.
As our high priest, Jesus acts on our behalf according to what we confess. He acts on our behalf according to what we confess.
Yeah.
What is it in accordance with God's word? Paul tells us he preached the word of faith. Paul preached the word of faith. We have to be careful as preachers that we're not negative, but we're preaching the word of faith.
Yes.
We have to be careful in our lives. Many people say they have faith and they preach and everything, but they're very negative.
Right.
And if you were with them, you wouldn't have any confidence at all. You'd be ready to finish up. They have no confidence. They have no faith.
Yeah.
They say they have faith, but they don't act in faith. They don't talk in faith. They talk negative, skeptic. But Paul was a man of faith. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Paul was a man of positivity.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Very simple, but very true. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
Somebody might have said to you this week, listen to me, the Holy Spirit's in here. Somebody could have said to you this week, you don't look saved. You're not acting saved. What this word says here, you're saved.
Amen.
Going to read it again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. You confess with your mouth is me and unto salvation.
Amen.
You say it. You confess it. You say you're saved. And you are saved. Why? Because the word of God says so.
Amen.
God cannot deny his own word. He cannot deny his own word. And God never ever had to change his word, for it was perfect. The first time. God never changes his mind about his word. Whatever the word of God says, that's it. It's an absolute. It cannot be changed. It does not need change. We're not to add to it. We're not to take from it. We are to believe it. We are to confess it. And if you confess him, you're saved. When you truly turn from your sins and call on the name of the Lord, and confess it, you're saved. You're saved even if you don't look saved. You're saved even if you don't act saved. Even if your body tells you the opposite, you're still saved. And he says, by my stripes you're healed. You're healed. Even if you don't look healed or act healed, the word of God says you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. You need to confess it. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. The relation of the confession to the manifestation. The relation of the confession to the manifestation. Notice that the confession saying the same thing that God says is by faith. God wants us to say the same thing he says by faith. You'd say, brother, I have no faith. That's a lie. Because I can take you to the book of Romans, and the Romans says to every one of us is given a measure of faith. The devil wants to tell you you have no faith. Faith's like a muscle. You can develop it. Amen?
Yeah.
You can make a 12-inch arm 19 inches if you train it enough and feed it enough protein. It will grow because you have exercised it. You have developed it. You have nourished it. And when you take the faith God has already given you, and you start to operate it, and start, don't let it just sit there, operate it, exercise it, start to talk it, start to say it, start to do it, it will grow, it will mature, it will multiply and become stronger. And the thing that you once thought impossible, it'll be nothing. Faith. Jesus says faith can move mountains. A mountain. I remember going to Sunday school years ago, and my teacher told me it doesn't actually mean a mountain. And I said, well, the Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says a mountain.
Yes.
Now it says, I know I don't need to move a mountain. But if God needed to move a mountain, say, but why would God do that? Why would God tell the sun and moon to stand still? And why is it they can prove it, done it? Why is it that a man of God said you'll stand still till he won the battle? Why did that happen? And they know it even today it happened. God done it. Same God that opened the Red Sea.
Amen.
And they crossed over, and a fella said one time it was like bog land. They were able to go over, and it was only ankle deep. And he told this servant of God it was only ankle deep. They were able to wade through it. And the man of God said, that's wonderful. Twice a miracle then, brother. And he said, how do you make that out? He said, well, the Bible says Pharaoh and his horses and chariots were drowned in it.
Yes, amen.
So he said, I never knew that all drowned horses and all ankle deep water. You see, people can have an opinion of the word of God, but an opinion's no use. Is it the word? Is it the word? A great man of God came across a classroom of students being lectured by a great teacher. And he had in there a wheel, and he was showing them a ball that it couldn't fit down the wheel's throat. And he was telling them the myth in the Bible that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And he showed them where the ball, not even a ball, could fit down the whale's throat. And the preacher said it was more than I could bear. And he went up to them. And he says, just a moment, sir. And he says, oh, you believe that old fable of Jonah? And he said, absolutely, I believe the Bible. And he told him, I'm Reverend so-and-so. And he said, well, how do you explain this? And he says, very easily. He says, my Bible tells me it was a spicely prepared fish. God spicely prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. It was a whale, but a spicely prepared whale. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago when I was in the Elam church that a brother brought me a clipping from a newspaper for a man who was swallowed by a whale, and the acid made him go white. Amen. And you know what one old preacher said? He said when Jonah stepped out of the whale's mouth on the gangplank in Nineveh and he preached repentance to them, he said it's no wonder the people in Nineveh repented because they worshipped the whale god. Amen. Amen. And God sent a whale in and a man steps out of his mouth and preaches to them.
Amen.
If God's word says it, we must believe it. A fellow said to me the other day, he said, why is it miracles and wonders happen so easily in Africa? in other impoverished countries and we don't seem to see it. I said, that's simple. He said, why is it? I said, because when you tell them something, if you say, jump that wall, and you receive it, they will jump the wall. They won't say, oh, but my man doesn't preach it like that.
Yeah.
My man, let me hear what my man says. I preached it the other week. Who is your man? My man's Jesus. Who's yours?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Don't worry about my man. If your man's not Jesus, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Your man needs to be Jesus.
Hallelujah.
My man is Jesus.
Glory.
Hallelujah. What's he saying? He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper.
Yeah.
That's what my man says.
Amen.
My man says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
That's what my man says. My man says, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. My man says, if you call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. That's what my man says. My man says he's coming again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my man. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is his name. Hallelujah. Faith. Believing and confessing before the experiencing the, even the results. You believe it. You confess. You were not saved. You were not saved until you confessed at first. Now I know in the mind of God you were, but I've told you, you had the experience. You were lost until you confessed. Is that right?
Yeah.
You had to come to a place of salvation.
Yeah.
You had to confess it. The preacher or the pastor, whoever he was, couldn't do it for you.
Yeah.
He couldn't save you, and he couldn't be saved for you. God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And you had to have your experience of salvation. And there was no result until you confessed it. But after you confessed it, you had a result and you were saved.
Amen.
And the devil then would have told you the next morning, you're not saved. And that's how you knew you were saved. Because before you got it, he never said you hadn't got it. And it's the same with healing. He'll be ready on the job. You haven't got it, then you know you have got it. Amen. W.P. Nicholson once said, when the weakest of the weak bend their knee and pray and get along with God, he says, the door will knock. Anything will happen just to disturb you so that you do not get time alone with God. He doesn't want that. The weakest Christian is strong when the Lord's with him.
Amen.
He's our strength. In our weakness, we're made strong through him. The Lord's our help. The Lord's our strength. Let's confess it as that. The confession comes first. Then Jesus Christ, our high priest, responds with the new birth. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It is not salvation on the confession, but confession on the salvation.
Amen.
Confession before possession. You confess it and you possess it. You say, Lord, save me. And then you have the possession of your confession. Healing is the same. There's no such thing as salvation without confession. Faith is acting upon God's word. That's faith. Acting upon God's word. And this always puts God to work, fulfilling the promise of God. Amen.
Jesus.
Now look what I wrote here. What are we to confess? What are we to confess? Few Christians today have recognized the place of confession holds in God's plan for our appropriation of his blessing. Whenever the word confession is used, many instinctively think of confessing sin, weakness, failure. This is only the negative side of the great question. A negative confession of sin was only to open the way for the positive confession on the salvation of a whole lifetime of the believing with our heart and saying with our lips everything God says to us and his promises. Confession on the salvation is in its initial form and then in each of its successive forms. First, in the form of the new birth, then in the form of every blessing promised us in the word of Almighty God. Salvation's just the start.
Yes.
Many people get saved and that's it. That's just the start. You need to get saved, then get sanctified. We don't hear that preached no more. But the old Methodists preach sanctification. That means clean yourself up. There's certain things you no longer can do if you're going to be sanctified. And don't people say, saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, that's true. But you'll not drink out of this glass unless I clean it first. And you see this glass full of water and it's clean. But if the brother brought this up here and muck on it, I wouldn't drink out of it. I'd tell him to go and clean it. But once that glass clean, it's a vessel fit for use. And the Lord saves us, then he wants to sanctify us. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit. And he saves us, then he sanctifies us, then he can fill us with the Holy Ghost. Baptize us with the Spirit of the Lord. Then we can be healed. Salvation's just the start. How did we get it? By confessing. How did you get saved? You confessed it. Maybe you stayed behind a meeting and prayed the sinner's prayer after a servant of God. Or maybe you read a tract at home and prayed the prayer in the tract. But you confessed it. And God took you at your word. And you took him at his word and you're saved. Now you weren't saved because you felt saved. Why are you saved? Because the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's why you're saved. Amen. The same word of God says, by my stripes you're healed. Amen. So why are you healed? Because I felt healed, looked healed, because the doctor said so? No. You were healed because the word of God says it. You need to confess what the word of God says about you.
Amen.
The Lord loves you.
Amen.
The Christian is to act on every phase of his salvation. And nobody, we are to believe with the heart and confess with the mouth the word of faith. Confess the word of faith which Paul the apostle preached. And we know Paul being the messenger of the first church age. Paul was chiefest among apostles. The Bible says special miracle. Wrought by the hands of Paul. You know where we get handkerchiefs and aprons and pray for the sick? That came from Paul. They did it in Paul's time. Some people say, I don't believe in that, but then they don't believe the Bible. That's the Bible. And I believe the Bible. Acts 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing but was profitable unto you, but showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, as a brother even mentioned. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of every man, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Paul just didn't preach salvation, but he preached the Holy Ghost and he preached healing and he demonstrated it.
Yeah.
He demonstrated it. Paul said it did not come to you with excellency of speech or the enticing words of wisdom of man, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I remember going to preach in Sheffield in England some years ago, and several people traveled with me from another part of England. We went down to the service, and all I did was preach a simple gospel, and the power of God fell. And there was a man that was backslidden and his daughters, and they all got restored to the Lord. There was about six of them. They all come back to the Lord. And I overheard two young men, and he says, I told you. And they were talking to each other, and they said, the power of God was there in the night. And the one young man said back, but do you know why? Because he preached the gospel. And the Bible declares that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
When we preach the true gospel, not this modern stuff which aren't there, but the true gospel that the apostles preach, that is the power of God. And God will back the preaching of the true gospel. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Yes.
What we have so much today of financial preaching, all of it money, and so in all these scriptures they take and they misuse it, and they flying jet planes and multi-million pound homes, but that's not Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus says the foxes have the hole, the birds have the nest, but the Son of Man's nowhere to lay his head.
Yes.
He was meek and lowly. Hallelujah. He never lived for himself. He lived for others.
Amen.
Amen. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. But the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
Paul acknowledges the grace given to him in Ephesians 3 verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Paul never stood at the front of a church boasting. Look at me, I'm great Paul. I tell you, I want to hear what I've done. You never hear that from Paul.
Amen.
Paul esteemed his brother higher. I said it Wednesday night. We need to esteem our brother above ourselves. Who believes that? That's the word of God. We're nobody without Jesus, but we're everything with him. Philippians says, I can do all things. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. That I should preach among the Gentiles in search of the riches of Christ. Paul acknowledged the grace of God given to him. Yeah. And any man or woman that God uses in a mighty way have to acknowledge it's the grace of God. It's not them.
Yes. Amen.
It's the grace of God that God gives to each one. Praise God. Just like the Bible tells in Romans, every one of us is given a measure of faith.
Yeah.
And we're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
You think of that for a man that's not even saved. But God gives him that faith to believe in that day. For by grace through faith are you saved.
Amen.
An unbeliever. And he gets saved because God gives him the grace and God gives him the faith. And he gets saved. Now if God can do that for an unsaved, what can God do for you that's saved?
Amen.
It's the same grace and the same faith. Don't let the devil beat you down, but you believe the word of God. Colossians 2 verse 10, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. All that Jesus did in his substitutionary work is the private property of every individual for whom he did it. Are you hearing that? All that Jesus did in his substitutionary work is the property of every single one of you that he done it for. He done it for you and he done it for me. Amen.
Yeah.
It's your property. It belongs to you. He done it for you. You are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So throughout our Christian life, God wants us to believe with our heart and say with our lips all he says that we are in Christ. We are to ignore or neglect our legal standing. We're never to ignore it or neglect it. Our legal standing in Christ. We have a legal standing according to the word because we're sons and daughters of God. And we're kings and priests unto God. We don't need to go down to the priest. We are priests. We can come to him. As individuals, we can come to him. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That was the case before. And under the old covenant, none needed an earthly priest. Now think of this for a moment. That earthly priest, when he went about the service of God, had to cleanse himself and do all the rituals and dress a certain way. Then he could not enter before offering for himself and the people. But Jesus never ever had to offer for himself once. Not once. Because he knew no sin. When Jesus offered, he offered for you and me. He never once offered for himself. He is superior to the Old Testament priest. That's why the Bible calls him a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is the highest order, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God.
Yes.
Our high priest who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We're not to ignore these standards, for it is the basis for the acts of faith which puts God to work to fulfill his word in us. Look what we are to confess or whisper in our heart. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him,
Jesus,
which is the head of all principality. You are complete.
Amen.
Have you been going about this week thinking you're not complete? Well, the word of God says you are complete in him.
Amen.
You're not complete in your own self, your own works.
Amen.
But you are complete in him. Yes. Your righteousness is his.
Amen.
You have none of your own.
Glory.
Romans 4, the imputation of righteousness.
Amen.
Blessed be the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin,
Jesus,
but will impute righteousness. The word impute means it's an impartation.
Yeah.
You hear all these people preaching about impartation gifts, and it's mostly a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
But Jesus gave the impartation of righteousness,
yes,
on the cross.
Amen.
He did give the impartation of righteousness,
Jesus,
because our righteousness was filthy rags.
Jesus.
The best we could do would never lift us as high as this pulpit. But Jesus lifted the whole way to heaven.
Amen.
And it's his righteousness that'll take us the whole way to heaven.
Amen.
The impartation of his righteousness.
Jesus.
Now I want to read one scripture and I'm closing. After I read this and share with you this statement of so much on on this subject. I could preach for it a long time. From these scriptures, Exodus 15, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And if any of you have a Schofield Bible, write down page 7 on your Schofield Bible. And on page 7 at the bottom of the page in your Schofield Bible, if you have one, you will see the 7 redemptive names of God. Now, if there's 7 redemptive names, he does all them things that them names say he does.
Yes.
So if people say he's not a healer of the day, they are denying Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 26. And said, if I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I know, hear me, a lot of people take this and say, but if the person's sick, it's already come upon them. Yes, all right, follow with the rest of it. God gives a remedy. The brass serpent on the pole. Amen? Are you following me?
Yeah.
If the Israelite took sick, God instructed Moses to put a brass serpent upon a pole, and he said, him that looketh upon the brass serpent that's been bitten and's ready to die, he lived.
Jesus.
How much more can we look to Jesus Christ and live?
Yeah.
Let me read you this. 7 redemptive names. F.F. Bosworth. To me, another unanswered argument that healing is in the atonement is found in the 7 redemptive names of Jehovah. Jehovah Shammah. It's translated, the Lord is there or present, revealing to us the redemptive privileges of enjoying his presence. He says, lo, I am with you always. That this blessing is provided by the atonement, it proves by the fact that we are to make now, we are made now by the blood of Christ. And he goes through all the 7 redemptive names. Now, I don't want to go through them all this morning. I want to highlight this. Christ, during his exaltation, could no more abandon his office as healer than he could abandon his office of his other 6 redemptive names. During his exaltation, been lifted up on the cross,
amen.
Jesus in the Old Testament shows us 7 redemptive names. He could no more abandon the 7th one because he never abandoned the other 6. So the 7th one he did not abandon. But he goes further. You say further, absolutely. Them 7 redemptive names, we read them in the Old Testament. But when you go to Hebrews 13 verse 8, you read Jesus Christ the same.
Jesus.
Under them 7 redemptive names.
Amen.
Yesterday and today and forever.
Yeah.
So whatever was yesterday, under the 7 redemptive names, he is the same today and he's the same forever. Now let's hear number 7. What he is under number 7. Jehovah Rapha is translated, I am the Lord, thy physician.
Amen.
I am your physician.
Amen.
If you're not well, you need a physician.
Amen.
And the word of God is saying, I am your physician. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I am your physician.
Amen.
Come to me. Come to me. I am your physician. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or, I am the Lord that healeth thee. This name is given to reveal to us our redemptive privilege of being healed. This privilege is purchased by the atonement. For the sake of argument, I have reserved this name for the last of the 7 names. The fact is that the very first covenant God gave after the passage of the Red Sea, which was distinctively typical of our redemption, was the covenant of healing. It was at this time that God revealed himself as our physician. By the first redemptive and covenant name, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. There is not only a promise, it is a statute and an ordinance. Not just a promise, but a statute and an ordinance. In other words, you cannot remove it or break it. It's for eternity. It's good. Written in stone, as Moses would have said.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus.
And so corresponding to the ancient ordinance we have and the command of James 5:14, positive ordinance of healing of Christ's name. This is sacred binding on every church today of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and Christian baptism. Silver off high. So just like churches practice communion, water baptism is one of the ordinances. And the ordinance is left for the church to continue till Jesus comes. So is James. And in James, we are to call the elders of the church to anoint with oil. It is an ordinance left to the church till the Lord comes. What for? To heal the sick. God has made provision. And even though this Old Testament, Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to have to close because time's going. I could preach longer, but I don't want to hold this too long. Praise God. I want time to pray. Anyone who wants prayer. We're to believe it, confess it with our lips, and then Christ will act out. The high priest will make it good. He will act it out. You won't act it out. He does the acting out.
Amen.
Your part's to believe it.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that tells me, seek him. One of the first prayers you read in the Bible is Abraham. Abraham praying to God for a child. Shall this Eliezer, you know, will this be the seed? And he said, no, by Sarah. And he said, what? You know, this is my words. What, Sarah? It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. He said, by Sarah.
Amen.
I will visit Sarah according to time of life.
Amen.
25 years passed, but Abraham believed God.
Yes.
Not only did Abraham believe God, but God appeared to him. In chapter 18 of Genesis, and God says to him, Abraham, I am thy exceeding shield and thy great reward.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Walk thou before me and be thy perfect.
Yes.
A man of God said, God cannot ask you to do something except he makes a way for you to do it. And we can be perfect through Jesus Christ, not ourselves, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our perfection. There's no other. And Abraham believed God. What does Paul tell us in Romans? And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Him believing, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God wants you to believe him today.
Yes.
Believe God. I am that city chief. And thy great reward. And God, hear this.
Amen.
God answered Abraham and met him at the point of his need.
Amen.
At the very point of his need, God done it.
Yes.
What is your need? God can meet you at the point of your need.
Amen.
Because we are the royal seed of Abraham by faith.
Hallelujah.
We are the royal seed of Abraham. The promise is still good. And Jesus Christ is our high priest, who ever liveth, to make intercession for the saints. Jesus makes it good.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
What is your need? You believe God can do it for you. You said that was Abraham, but the Bible says God is no respecter of persons.
Yeah.
He takes the foolish things of this world and confound the mighty. The things that are not. You know the are nots. You know the are nots. The was nots will soon be the are nots because we're gone.
Amen.
They never knew us. Now we're too late. We'll be gone. It's going to be a rapture. We're leaving.
Amen.
We're leaving.
Jesus.
Praise God. Let's stand our feet. Maybe musicians could come and play softly. Only believe. Praise the Lord. Let's just be reverent. I want to call for those that want prayer this morning. I want Brother Ian to come and Brother Samuel to come. One of our other deacons is not here this morning. But those brothers are anointed. I believe they're call to God, and I want them to come. And anyone that wants anointed with oil,
Jesus.
And we're going to pray over you the prayer of faith. And believe God, whatever your need is, that God this morning is going to meet you at the very point of your need. Don't worry about emotion. It's not emotion. It's good to feel good. We can put so much on emotion and feeling and messing.
Amen.
It's because the Word says so.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning in the name that thou hast set above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've never lost the battle. Your Word says you are the great physician. Lord, there's no other child here today. This is your Word. I pray that the same God that wrote the Word will come forth in our midst and confirm this Word with signs and wonders and miracles. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, you promised if we preach the gospel, you will confirm it. We believe you. Forgive us our unbelief. Rid us of fear. Rid us of skepticism. Lord, we're not looking on feeling. We're looking on Jesus. We believe you're here. And we do sense your presence upon our bodies. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, as these young men come, that the power of God will work through them and upon them, and that people will know your touch. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. I believe the anointing of God is here.